Welcome to episode 21 of the Tag Teamers Podcast. We're talking everything from AEW Dynamite last night, July 31st. I'm actually recording from Swerve's house right now. Where are you at?
I'm just here at my own house, unfortunately. I wish I was cool enough to be at Swerve's. Maybe I'll swerve when I drive there.
Yep. Parts unknown. That's how you make it sound a little bit cooler. But yeah, you want to kick it off with MJF Will Ospreay?
Yeah. I mean, let's jump right into it. I think this promo was good, but I think there's some issues on MJF's end. One part that kind of stands out as hypocritical is obviously he's calling Ospreay and the people from the UK redcoats as he's wearing a red coat himself. You know, I'm sure that was by design, but
yeah.
Another thing though is, I don't think the whole American Championship is going to work as a heel while in America. I mean, obviously All In is in London, and I think then once somebody from that side of the world is winning the title and then restores it to the international, I think that'll work. But as of right now, even the crowd started chanting USA. You know, like, obviously in the United States, we're very patriotic. I don't think being an American, especially in wrestling, where heels are typically, foreigners are typically heels, I don't think this is really working for them.
Yeah, if there's anybody who can make it happen, at least to a decent extent, it's MJF, but it's certainly not the the most perfect storyline, I guess, if you will, with regards to the title. And yeah, I picked up on the red coat thing as well. That was, I'm sure, by design, of course. Anything else stick out to you about it?
Not really. I mean, I'm just kind of caught up on, you know, the American Championship aspect of it. You know, I'm kind of, I mean, at first I didn't love the idea of switching it to begin with, but now even more, I'm kind of like, this was kind of a bad idea. I think we should have stuck with the international and, you know, like, yeah, it'll create the big moment, but we're still 4 weeks away. You know, we still have 4 weeks of television that it's really not going to get over for. Anything else stick out to you though?
Yeah, I think, you know, if they had just kept it as the international championship, I feel like MJF could have won the title. He could be carrying it right now, and he could just be disrespecting the very title that he's holding, and then ultimately lose it once they're at Wembley Stadium, lose it to Ospreay again. I think that would work just as well, if not better. I think losing it and having it switch back to the international in foreign land is a good, like, that's a good idea, but the rest of it is kind of a trade-off because it's not the strongest, like you're saying. Yeah, best MJF line from the night. I kind of want to make that a repeating thing. I like the him calling Ospreay a redcoat terrorist. That was a good one. But the meth head comment was good too.
Yep. Yeah, obviously, I mean, he said everyone in the country's got crooked teeth. I mean, honestly, yeah, I mean, I think we just nailed it. Those are the three that stand out the most to me.
Yeah, I know you're critical of him for his cheap heat, but he weaves in a couple unique zingers each week as well, so it balances out. You want to move on to Swerve, Bryan Danielson?
Yeah, let's talk about it. I think putting the career on the line just doesn't make sense. I mean, you've already got the title shot. You don't have to do this, you know? Like, it's one thing if you're using your career to get the title shot, you know, one of those things where it's like, okay, if you give me the title shot, I'll put my career on the line. But he's already won the Owen Hart Foundation. He's already got the match signed, sealed, and delivered. I don't really see a reason to risk your wrestling career.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought Danielson was he was a snooze fest the whole time he was on the mic for me. And I also don't really understand, you know, he's saying he's making all these promises, and he's like, I promised my family this would be the last contract I ever sign. And he's like, my contract ends tomorrow. But he's going to be wrestling throughout the rest of the whole year, right?
Certainly
past tomorrow. But
right, because the match is confirmed for, you know, 4 weeks from now. Which is kind of interesting. I mean, I guess he'll work on a handshake the rest of his career, but I mean, he's early 40s, you know, like he's got at least 10 years left if he really wants. So it's kind of interesting that that's what he would do. rather than just sign the contract, especially because, I mean, part-time contracts exist. You know, we see that in WWE. Obviously, AEW hasn't really leaned into that yet, but I'm sure Tony Khan would be willing to negotiate that with Bryan Danielson to keep him around.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you give him much of a shot to win the title at All In?
I think he's a lock. I think he's going to win. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking at first, but then afterward, I wasn't so sure. Just because, I mean, if it was actually his last match, then I don't know, I'd feel better about it. But, I mean, you would know better than I do, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 3 years since he's been in AEW. He's yet to win a title. I would imagine he's going to get it, I think. Plus his career's on the line. I don't believe he's done wrestling. I think, you know, it'll be a thing where he does do part-time or, you know, comes in every few months in different companies, whether it's Indies or New Japan or whatever direction he goes. But I can't imagine, you know, in a month from now, Bryan Danielson's never going to wrestle again.
Right.
So, yeah, I would definitely expect him to win. And, I mean, he could drop it pretty quickly. You know, it's not like he needs a long reign. I could see something, you know, last 2 months for him, you know, and that'd be completely fine. But yeah, the fact that he's been in AEW for 3 years and yet to be a champion is kind of interesting. We saw with Sting. Sting retired earlier this year. He went out as a champion. He retired as tag team champion with Darby. So AEW is more than fine to put a title on somebody in these kind of situations.
Yeah, honestly, I was thinking if he did win the title, I was like, he very well may just retire as a champion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. You know, I think that's something Tony Khan would be willing to do. But, you know, we have Darby's already confirmed for a title shot for Grand Slam, which will be just 3 weeks following All In. I wouldn't be surprised Darby ends up taking the world title if Danielson were the one to win, you know, and walk out of All In as champion.
Yeah, I was going to say that once we ended up getting to Darby. Yeah, is retiring with the title, is that something that's very, not necessarily frowned upon, but it's like very, I don't know, just like a polarizing thing to do. Some people hate it, some people love it.
Yeah, I think in most cases people hate it, especially for a world title. I think it worked with Sting because, I mean, first off, he had a 40-year career and it was a tag title. So, it kind of made sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of being the world champion, just to walk away, I don't think that's a great look for a company.
Yeah, it's something that you could do it, but it's almost impossible to do it well.
Exactly. And yeah. Honestly, I don't think it helps the rest of the roster.
Right. You might as well put somebody over.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what reason is there for Danielson to retire as champion, you know? And, I mean, as I said, I don't really think he's done anytime soon. I'm expecting to see him wrestling still in 5 years. They're pro wrestlers, you know? He's just hyping a match right now. I think there's no shot he's done.
Got it.
What about, Darby? I mean, we mentioned him. He beats Hangman. He's got a TNT title shot lined up for All In. He's got a world title shot lined up for Grand Slam. Is there a direction you would rather see him go? Would you rather see him win the TNT title, the world championship?
Well, I mean, I like the idea that we just went over. I think it'd be good to have him maybe lose at All In and then have his sights set on Bryan Danielson after that for a world title.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's time. I think Darby is ready to be a world champion. I mean, you could argue he's the heart and soul of AEW, and I think beating somebody like Danielson would be great for him. He's already held the TNT title a couple times, so I'm okay not seeing that again.
Yeah. Have Darby and Bryan Danielson wrestled before or no?
No, which is actually one of my top five matches, honestly, AEW could put on that I want to see. Like, that's right up there with probably anything that they could put on. I think those two would work pretty well together.
Yeah, I agree. Very different styles. I think it'd be interesting to see. It's funny. I feel like the last 3 weeks of AEW, it's like, for the first time ever, this match, and it's like two of the top guys in the company. It's like how every week, how, you know, we have two more guys who have never wrestled each other that are like top five in the company somehow.
Yeah, that's one thing AEW has done a good job with, is not blowing through their big money matches. But honestly, it's caused issues too, though, is Cody, when he left, there's a lot of matches that were left on the table. We didn't see Cody versus Moxley. We didn't see Cody versus Omega or Adam Cole. And then same thing with Punk. I mean, obviously the Punk situation was a little different and his contract, you know, got terminated rather than expiring. But, you know, there was a lot of big money matches with him that we didn't get to see either. Like, we didn't see him and Omega or Adam Cole either. So I think it's a thin line. I think AEW has done a good job with holding off on the big matches, but sometimes you got to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Well, they're blowing through them now.
Yeah. And I think part of that's because their TV deal's coming up. I saw today the exclusive rights for TNT, Warner Brothers, expired. So now they can speak with anybody, any network in terms of a TV deal. So I think they're probably just trying to boost the ratings maybe. And that's why they're blowing through the matches.
Yeah, and I feel like AEW just has more of these matches like that you would want to see than the WWE does. And it's not even because the WWE has already done them. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like AEW has more exciting top guys than the WWE does. In AEW, I feel like it's double digits. And in the WWE, it's probably like maybe like five or six guys that I would get really excited to see wrestle each other.
I do think part of the issue is a lot of WWE's top stars right now have been around, you know, like Roman, Seth, Cody, they've all been around 12 plus years. Whereas like MJF, nobody knew who he was 6 years ago, or Ospreay 6 years ago. And I mean, obviously Ospreay recently signed with the company. So I just think that's a big part of it, is a lot of these guys have just been unknown, you know, until they got to AEW. But yeah, I mean, AEW is in a great spot because they do have a lot of dream matches, if you want to call it that, you know, that they can unload whenever they want.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they just have, they could put together a blockbuster match like at any moment that they feel like it.
Yeah,
that
absolutely
would get people really excited. Whereas I don't think the WWE can do that right now.
Yeah. And I mean, right now, Omega and Cole are both hurt, and they're two of, you know, the top five, six, seven guys in the company. And, you know, once they come back, I think AEW is going to be in a really good spot in terms of that.
Yeah. So the last segment we have to talk about is the Monet Corporation. You want to move on to that?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about it. I was hoping to see Britt, you know, come out and maybe further that in the ring. Obviously, we didn't get that. Mercedes has some heavy now, so we'll see how that goes. Kind of seems like she's going to be building a faction. That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, just a little introduction to her new enforcer. Put her over real quick and with a nice little squash match. And that was about it. Pretty straightforward match and segment there.
Yeah, exactly. Not a whole lot of development other than that. I would imagine where everything stands right now, maybe we see another member join the group at All In, and that's who helps Mercedes win. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. The women's factions, that's not a big thing in AEW right now, and I think that's something that they should continue to build upon.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, we got to talk about the picture of Tony Khan and Shane McMahon that was floating around yesterday. Where you stand on it? Do you want to see it?
I would love to see it. You know, I'm a big Shane McMahon guy. Always. One of the best theme songs in wrestling history. I just like listening to Shane talk. I've always loved what he's done in the ring as well. Just willing to put his body on the line. Who knows how his body can hold up. But, I mean, he's in great shape for his age. I mean, like I said, I just love Shane, man. I mean, he's just a hard-nosed guy. He brings the grit to wrestling that I like.
Yeah, I mean, he's generated more holy shit moments than almost anybody in wrestling history. And that's a guy that wrestled maybe once or twice a year. So I think AEW should jump at the opportunity of signing him. If he wants to come in and wrestle, I think you'd be foolish not to take him. I see some people online don't want to see it, but I think it'd be a big mistake to not sign somebody at Shane's level of, you know, just like, I mean, the guy's also been around the industry for 40 something years, you know, like I'm sure he could help behind the scenes as well, you know, give some insight on certain things, whether it's storylines, production, you know, advertisement, you know, just anything. I'm sure he's got a lot of knowledge that he's ready to use. And obviously he's not done with wanting to be in the wrestling companies.
Yeah, I mean, he's got it in his blood. I mean, you'd be, why wouldn't you want to sign him? Why wouldn't you want to see it? It's not like, I mean, I don't expect him to be a full-time wrestler or anything, but yeah, I was going to say, stick him in like a hybrid role where he's basically like a wrestling's version of a player coach. He does some stuff in the ring. He cuts some promos. He has some matches, but behind the scenes, he's, that's like 50% of his responsibility as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, he could certainly help backstage. I think everyone knows that. Tony Khan's hands are kind of full. You know, he's running three different weekly shows on national television, plus he's got Ring of Honor. I think if he had somebody at Shane's knowledge, you know, to take some of the load, that'd be a great idea. And I think on screen, I think Shane will work pretty well. Just like, I mean, depends if he's heel, if he's face. But, I mean, I don't know how much they would want to get into it, but I wouldn't be against, you know, Shane running some sort of faction that's almost NWO-esque. And the reason I say NWO-esque is because NWO started as an invasion. It was portrayed as these guys are coming from WWE to take over WCW. If Shane got in there and gathered some of the former WWE guys into a faction, I would be down for that.
Build his faction real quick off the top of your head. Don't put too much thought into it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would keep Edge away because I'd rather see someone like Jericho take the old guy role. But if you got like Jericho, Samoa Joe, and then, you know, you got another major player like Jon Moxley, you know, like I would like to see something like that.
I don't know if Samoa Joe works for me.
No?
Moxley, though. Yeah, well, because I'll always think of Samoa Joe as TNA.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's a good argument. But, I mean, at this point, I think people might associate Moxley more with AEW than they even do WWE. I mean, his run's almost as long in AEW as it even was in WWE. I think in a year from now, it will be longer. So, I mean, that roster's full of former WWE guys. They could go any direction, you know, if they wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, Shane's just he's just an asset that seems great to have. Like, why wouldn't you want him?
Exactly.
I'm hoping we get, again, I can't get enough Shane McMahon, so.
Yeah, and I mean, my number one match, if I could put Shane in a match, it would be against Darby. You know, those two trying to outdo each other with spots. I mean, sign me up for that.
And I'm grateful for Shane still wanting to do this at this point in his life. Like, he has no reason to want to do it other than just the love of doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the last time we seen Shane, he blew out his quad at WrestleMania 39. You know, I think it's weird to say he's a legend, but, you know, in some ways he kind of is. And I'm not a fan of any legend going out that way. I think any legend in the wrestling business deserves to go out kind of the way they want and on a better note than blowing his quad in a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that's something that he can't live with either. Like, exactly. that probably bothers him so much, for sure. There's no way he's going to allow himself to go out on that note.
For sure. And honestly, I'm sure Tony Khan and him, they seem like they would probably get along, you know? Like, obviously, they both grew up as billionaire sons. Obviously, big fans of the wrestling industry. I think it would be a cool dynamic for them, and I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think that picture was leaked on purpose? Accidental? Wasn't supposed to be? What do you think?
I'm always going to think it's on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, because it would be weird. Like, how does somebody get that picture? And then, you know, it almost looked like it was by design. Maybe it was to send feelers out, see how the wrestling fans would react. But I definitely think it was by design. And I think the reason they had a meeting is obviously the feeling is mutual on both ends of doing this deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's never on accident.
Is there any match you would like to see with Shane versus anybody? I had mentioned Darby, but is there anybody that sticks out to you?
I hadn't really put any thought into that at all. But I'm honestly, I don't even care. I'll be happy no matter what, seeing Shane wrestle.
I mean, we better be careful putting him in a feud with MJF. You know, the promos, you know, that could get ugly.
I would love it. I would love it.
So Darby and MJF would be top of my list, just given the match with Darby and then the promos with MJF.
Yeah. You know, I'm a promo guy, so give me MJF.
Yeah, and you know he would cut deep on some stuff that maybe makes some people uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, that's what AEW provides much more than WWE does. You know, they're not afraid to push those buttons. Like, WWE will, they might press on it a little bit, but they don't go very far.
Yeah, exactly. And in AEW and MJF specifically, they're not afraid to, you know, to really push that button and let you know that that's the intention that they're going for.
Yeah, they'll mash any button no matter what it is. Dead grandmas, dead dads, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
I'd love to hear MJF just talking about the Vince stuff. I mean, if
yeah,
give him the opportunity to do that. I mean, who knows what kind of roads he might go down.
Exactly. And then honestly, I mean, Christian's whole gimmick is dead dads. But, you know, if he wants to go a different direction talking about dads, Christian and Shane, you know, maybe can make some good television there too.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to like, comment, subscribe, leave a review, depending on wherever you're watching or listening. We will be back on Saturday with our review of Friday Night SmackDown leading into SummerSlam.